If you'd like to follow along in the reading of God's Word, they are listed in your bulletin. Before we read, I'd like to pray, because these are ancient words, if God is at work in their reading and preaching and hearing. So Deuteronomy chapter 18, starting in verse 15, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your ancient words. We thank you that they do change us because they are living and active, sharper than even double-edged swords. So we pray that you would do your work through your word this morning, in my life and David's life, in all of our lives. For we pray in Christ's name, amen. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." Turning to 1 John chapter 4, the first 6 verses. John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error."
Continuing from the Gospel according to John, the 8th chapter, beginning at the 21st verse. "So he said to them again, 'I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come.' So the Jews said, 'Will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come?' Come, he said to them, 'You are from below. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.' So they said to him, 'Who are you?' Jesus said to them, 'Just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge. But he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him.' They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." As He was saying these things, many believed in Him. May God add His blessing to this reading of His holy word and add to it our understanding, and with our understanding, may we believe in Him and grow ever deeper in that belief. Amen. I ask you to stand. And if you believe, I ask you to affirm your faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, unless you are ages 3 through kindergarten, in which case you get to continue to worship God in children's church. For the rest, please stay. And Brett, would you pray for me?
Father, we pray for David that the distractions of this moment, the distractions of the morning, the distractions of the weekend would melt away in clear focus on You, on Jesus, on the good news of the gospel, and that the same would be true of all of us who hear. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I don't brag on Presbyterianism very often. In fact, there's much about Presbyterianism that gives one pause as to whether or not we have much to brag about at all, given the history of this tradition and its spottiness. But there's one story that sticks with me, told by B.B. Warfield, the great Princeton theologian and New Testament scholar, and it's in one of his shorter writings, and I go back to it periodically for encouragement. It tells of the story of being a time in a great Western city, as he named it, when there were riots in the streets. And there was a general officer of the army whose units were called in to quell the riots. And as he was standing observing the activities of his troops, he saw a man coming across the street through the midst of the riots, and their eyes locked, and they followed until the man passed and kept on going, and then the general turned and resumed his oversight of his troops. But he had to turn, and he looked, and he saw the man turn and come back toward him, and as he approached the general, the man placed his finger in the general's chest and said, "What is the chief end of man?" To which the general replied, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and to joy Him forever." To which the man said, "I took you for a catechism boy from the moment I laid eyes on you." There are lots of times in our lives when there are riots, and we don't know what to do with it. There are lots of times in our lives when we get discouraged, we feel on the brink of being defeated, We are unsure, uncertain, we doubt, there's confusion. What do we do? How do we respond? One of the dynamics of the Reformed faith that I do cherish is that it instills in those who embrace it, through all the ups and downs, a center line, a steady axis to which we remain tethered because we become increasingly convinced that God is sovereign. And that makes all the difference. Whatever mistakes in judgment we may make, whatever mistakes in judgment others may make, whatever unsettledness we may need to work through, we can remain steady in this confidence. The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And it will be okay. John didn't write the catechism, but the men who did read what John wrote. And he, among the other biblical writers, inspired them to draw this famous conclusion about our chief purpose on this earth. We exist to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And as John was writing to a church in turmoil, to a church that had been brought to the point of confusion and doubt, to division and uncertainty, he was able to write into the midst of it, "You, dear children, are of God, and you have overcome them." It was his way of coming back to the people in this church, placing his finger on their chest and saying, "What is the chief end of me?" You know this. Children, you are of God. You have overcome them. Be encouraged. Don't be distracted by doctrinal error or even betrayal. Don't be distracted by leaders who are unkind or uncharitable or self-serving. You have overcome them. Now, maybe you have had somebody come to you at a point in your life of discouragement, and they have offered words of encouragement. They have offered you words of reassurance. It's going to be okay. And something in you may say, "Yeah, right." How do you know? Because you know your own heart, you know your own soul, you know enough of it at least to know, "I haven't overcome anything." Look at what John says. He doesn't just offer a declarative statement of encouragement. He points you and me to the source of our encouragement. "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you." There's the source of your encouragement. It's not what you have in you. It's that he is in you. In a certain sense, John, except that he was being led by the Holy Spirit, but he could have stopped there. That's enough. There could be a period there and we could all go home now. Don't get up. Not yet. He who is in you. Do you know him? Do you know the strength he gives you? Do you know the grace he shows you? John does go on. He who is in you is greater. He is greater than. What or who is he greater than? The one who is in the world. The ones that Jesus was talking about. The ones that the Pharisees listened to. The one that Moses was talking about. The false prophets who would mislead and direct our attention away from God, away from his character, away from his will. John is speaking to us not only of the encouragement we have and the source of that encouragement, he is speaking about the source of that encouragement in contrast to the enemies of that encouragement. Those who are of this world, those who take their point of reference from what they can experience in this world and the flattery they receive from the world. Oh, you say nice things. You make me feel good about myself. They speak out of that frame of reference, and the world listens to that. It just laps it up. Tell me more of how great I am. Tell me more of how it's going to be okay because God would never want anything bad to happen to me. Tell me more about how I shouldn't have to suffer. Tell me more that Jesus isn't really the only way. He wouldn't really say somebody would die in their sins except that he did. The enemy of our encouragement would distract us from its source, him. The one who went to the cross. The one who was lifted up. Our burden gladly bearing. How worth it is it to you to be distracted from him? If what he has to say to you is somewhat challenging and makes you give up your right to yourself, makes you think that maybe your petty preferences aren't really to be preferred over the loved one sitting next to you with whom you may disagree about something. Are you so committed to feeling good about yourself that you're willing to sacrifice those around you on the altar of your ego? That's the enemy of your encouragement, thinking like that. You want to grow? You want to grow in your encouragement? Repent. It's a good word. It's a great word. Return. Come home. Come back to the one who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come home. Don't be selfish. That is the enemy of your encouragement. Of your encouragement. The specific occasion are these false teachers. But I would remind you that it is a generic issue we face. There are general enemies that come from all kinds of directions. Listen to what Paul says. Remember this. The works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy. This was one that strikes my heart. Fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. 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 What are you willing to divide over? You better be blessed sure it's something dividing over from God and not your own selfish heart. Envy. It gets better. Drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those are the enemies of encouragement. And we bear them right here. Those are not things that somebody else did to you. That happens, and those are enemies of encouragement too. Those are not things that Satan, wait, wrong direction, Satan does to you. Those are things you and I carry on board every day. Works of the flesh. Children, you are of God. And you have overcome them. Because he who dwells in you overcomes them. He's greater than those things. Thank God. But John goes on. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Jesus says, whoever listens to me. Moses says, whoever listens to the true prophet. These are our allies of encouragement. We are not alone in this. We don't have to live and strive and pretend that we're alone in this. We shouldn't want to be alone in this. Because we can't do it alone. You may think you can. You may want to. But you can't. Because he who is in you won't let you. He doesn't want you to do this without allies. There are those who listen to him, and if you listen to him, you want to be with others who listen to him. That's how we survive. It's how we grow. It's where we find more of that encouragement. Children, you are not of this world. You are of God, and you have overcome them. Who do you want to be around? Who do you want speaking into your life? These are the people who with you listen to and embrace the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves sinners just like me. How many of you know I am a sinner? I want to see hands. But don't be bashful. Put your hand up. Why do we put up with each other? Who else do you want to deal with? You know any people outside this room that aren't sinners? I need you to embrace the gospel with me. And you need me to embrace the gospel with you. And we need each other to get over ourselves every day. Because what we do when we gather here is not about whether or not you get anything out of it. What matters is what you are embracing and who you are embracing it with. Let God, who is in you, take care of satisfying you. That's where our focus belongs. We need to be telling each other every time we gather, do you know I'm justified by grace through faith in Him alone? Do you know that? I'm not good enough by any measure anywhere. He is. And He's the one who has justified me by being lifted up for me. Do you know that apart from Him, I'm an orphan? I have no home. I have no name. I have no identity. I'm lost. But when I'm with Him, He gives me His name. He calls me son and brother and friend. And He tells me there are others like me with Him. And that we are family. How many of you have siblings? Everything was peace and quiet growing up with your sisters and brothers, wasn't it? It was just easy peasy, no problems. It was a walk in the park. If you're an only child, God bless you. And if you were an only child, if you're a believer, you're not now. And you'll fight over whose blanket it is or who gets the last cup of cereal in the box or the last cookie or who has to do the chores and on and on and on. And how many parents get to the point of saying, enough! And yet we have a Father who never says that. Who never says, I am sick of this and I'm sick of you get out. No. We have a Father who says, you are my son and you are my daughter. I will not tolerate you fighting this way, but I will never tell you to get out. I will tell you, grow up. Because I am in you. And I am greater than the ones that are in the world. And you need each other, not just to survive, but to thrive. Do you know that? I'm not the same little brat I was when I was 10. I'm an older 61-year-old brat now. But I know some things now that I didn't know then, because Jesus is in me, in us, changing me to become more like him. What about you? How's he changing you? How would you like him to change you? Are there traits in you that you would love to see? How would it feel? Let's see. For you to feel love and to express it. Really. Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Because he who is in us is greater than that, than those in the world. And he is in us, changing us to become more of that. Little children, you are of God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater. He's producing this in you, in us. You want to give that up? Who wants to get off that train? You want to walk away from each other? You want to give up on people out there who need to know this? Is there anybody not here who needs to be? Why? Because we're that great? Oh, you need to come to our church. We have the best programs. No, we don't. Who are we kidding? We're a ragtag bunch of losers. You know that? Praise God. Somebody say amen. We are people God has taken from all different places and all different conditions and all different experiences, economic, academic, temperament. Y'all are a mess. I like it better coming from Nicole. So, we're a mess. Guys, kidding aside, why would we want anyone to come here? To hear he's our hope? To hear the truth? Why else would we want anyone to come here? Okay. Why else would we want anyone to come here? Because we sing everybody's favorite songs? Because we have guitar, we don't have guitar. We have hymn books, we have hymn books. Beloved, little children, you are of God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than. I want people to know him. Can we want that together? Those are the allies of our encouragement. When we invite anyone to come to church, it's not to be entertained, it's for them to be transformed by a God who says, I love you better than anybody else ever will or ever can. And you need me. Where else are they going to find that? These are the things that confirm our encouragement and enable us at the end to know the spirit of truth over against the spirit of error. We had a conversation this morning about whether or not to go to one service or two. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. Do what you want. I told you then, I'll tell you now, I'll preach twice. I'll preach three times. I'll preach once. You can't not have me preach. That's not cricket. But I don't care when. I care that we worship him. Because he is the source of our encouragement, who enables us to overcome the enemies of our encouragement, who helps us discover in one another the allies of our encouragement, and who finally enables us to discern and confirm the reality of our encouragement, because he is the spirit of truth, not of error. What do you want? You think about that.